one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. The Lord, we know, will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word. Now, this illustration of the rich farmer, his fruits and his barns, arises out of an inquiry regarding earthly inheritance. And the striking feature regarding the inquiry is concerning the inquirer. Look what it says in the verse number 13 of the chapter. And one of the company said unto him, one of the company, intimating that he was in the company of the Lord, he was a hearer of the Lord's word, he was a hearer of the Lord's teaching. This is not someone who has just come relatively recently. He is described as one of the company. And yet his heart and his mind is taken up, fixated with earthly inheritance. Picture the scene. Here's this man, and he's sitting in the presence of God incarnate. He's sitting in the presence of the Son of God. He is listening to the one who spoke, they said of him, never man spake like this man. And he has this great privilege and this great blessing to hear the Son of God, to hear the voice of God audibly. And yet, his mind, his heart is taken up with an earthly inheritance. Taken up with temporal matters, while the Son of God speaks to him about eternal matters. It's a very powerful reminder and a powerful illustration that not even the Lord's preaching arrested him. He comes to the Lord and he says, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And it's evident from the Lord's response to him that this man is way off the mark as far as the mind and will of God is concerned. Because the Lord said to him in verse 14, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? The Lord is talking now in the context of the civil magistrate to whom was given the authority to deal with these matters. And the Lord is saying, I haven't come for that reason. And he did not usurp the place of the civil magistrate. Instead, he sounds forth this message concerning what the focus and what the priority of life ought to be. Now notice what the Lord does here. in response to the man. He commences with a warning against covetousness. Verse 15, "And he said unto them," this is broadened out now, this goes beyond the individual, this is the application to the whole group, the whole company. "He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." The Lord sounds out a solemn warning, and the warning is against covetousness. He says, take heed. In other words, here's an area that requires great vigilance, great diligence. Take heed. Here is something that you must beware of. You must be wary of this. This is a snare to the soul, and it is the snare of covetousness. He's dealing with desire. The commandment, thou shalt not covet, relates to the desire of the inward heart. And the Lord is speaking now, and he says, beware of covetousness. And that's very important to maintain the difference and the distinction, because possessions and earthly things, material things in themselves are not evil. The evil comes when the heart becomes focused on them to the exclusion of the Lord. Do you remember what Paul said in his letter to Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a verse that is often misquoted. He said there that it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. And the love of money has to do with the attitude of the heart towards temporal things, earthly things. And where there is an inordinate affection, where those things take the place of God, where they usurp the place of God, the heart becomes consumed by them. And the Lord said, take heed, beware of that covetous spirit, that covetous desire, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What the Lord says here cuts right through the thinking of modern man. Modern man, modern society, thinks that his life does consist in having an abundance of things. If you look there in verse 15 at the verb to consist, that's a very interesting verb in the original Greek New Testament, because it is the verb, literally it is the verb to be. To be. In other words, the Lord is saying that the essence of man's being, the essence of man's being, his existence, is not in possessing material things. A man's life, a man's being, does not exist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And so the Lord is saying, beware, beware of covetousness, beware of having the heart fixed on those things that in themselves are temporal. Beware of covetousness. It's a very old snare. In fact, it goes right back to the very first sin. The angels that kept not their first estate, they were not content with their first estate, and they desired something more. Satan, or Lucifer as he was, desired to be like God, desired the throne of God. He fell to the snare of covetousness. The sin of Adam and Eve likewise began with desire. It began with that covetous desire. They likewise were discontent with what God had provided them in the Garden of Eden. And thereafter, the sin of covetousness has become the cause of misery and sorrow ever since. The love of these things is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil. Covetousness is never alone. Covetousness is the womb out of many, out of which many other sins are committed. The Lord commences with this warning against covetousness, that inordinate desire towards the things of this world. He's not saying the things of this world are evil. He's not saying that money is evil. It is an inordinate desire, an inordinate affection set on those things that actually puts them before God, that makes them the goal of life, the object of life, instead of the Lord. And you look out over society today, and that's exactly what we're witnessing. That's how man lives. That's what he thinks his life consists of. That's what will give him the meaning, the purpose of his life, if he possesses all these things. And the Lord says, not so. Take heed. Beware of this snare. And then secondly, he continues with this illustration, with this parable. The parable of the rich man who owned land, who had crops and the ground brought forth plentifully, so much so that he was left in a bit of a predicament. He had nowhere to put them. And he says, I'll pull down all my barns, I'll build bigger, I'll store them up, and then I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now the moral of this parable, the moral of this illustration, is that the reason why we must take heed to covetousness is because earthly possessions are not ours. We only have them for a short time. That's the lesson. That's the moral. He thinks to himself, I have all this abundance, and I will store it up, and I will have it for many years. And the Lord calls him and says, this night your soul is required. And the Lord then asks the question, verse 20, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, they're no longer in your possession. They're no longer in your ownership. Because the moment that your soul is required and you must go to stand before God, the Lord is saying, that moment we say farewell to this world. We say farewell to everything in this world. We say farewell to everything that we have laid up. We leave it behind. Death and the great eternity will take from a man all that he has labored for, and it will be handed on to others. Think of the context. The context of the parable is this man, one of the company, who has come to the Lord with a question about inheritance. And there you have death. Someone has died. Whether it's a close family member or a friend, we don't know exactly. But the fact of the matter is, someone has died and they have left their possessions. And now there's this question between the man and his brother over who will have share of it. Who will have what portion of it? The context here is that of death and the inheritance that follows, and the clear reminder that earthly possessions one day will be given up. What then? They will be left. I've mentioned before, J.D. Rockefeller, one of the richest, in fact, he was the richest man of his day. And when he died, a friend asked his accountant, how much did J.D. leave? And he said, he left it all. He left it all. That's the lesson. That's what the Lord is saying. That's why he's saying, take heed, beware of covetousness. Life doesn't consist in possessing a lot of things, because there comes a time when we will leave it all. We'll leave it all. When a person's heart is set on earthly things, he will one day give them all up, leave them all behind, and they will be handed on to someone else. They may very well be squandered. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, that's what Solomon discovered when he started looking for the meaning of life apart from God. And he gathered up all these possessions, and then it agitated his mind because he started to worry, well, when I die, what's going to happen to them? Will my offspring use them well, or will these things become a snare to them? And that's what Solomon discovered. I was doing a little research recently on an Irish Presbyterian minister in the 18th century. And he built a church, and he also founded a very renowned academy in his areas here, and in, was not far from here. The old church still stands. But after he died, there came along the great controversy in the time of Henry Cook and Montgomery, and it became the subscription controversy. Arianism had come in, and Henry Cook was seeking to have the churches subscribe to the Confession of Faith in order to uphold the deity of Christ. And the church that minister had built with his own hands and labored to build the material building I'm talking about, that church became non-subscribing, fell on the wrong side. And then when you go to the front of the church, it's been all beautifully renovated. It's a beautiful old building, Presbyterian church, but it's non-subscribing. And on the front there's a plaque that says, "This restoration was funded by the Lottery Heritage Fund." And I was thinking, because in the grounds of the church there's a graveyard, and there's the old family vault of that minister, and he is buried there. His son, who also was a great preacher, great minister, he's buried there. And I'm thinking of the old church and the family plot, and I'm thinking, here is this man who labored to build this beautiful building. But when he died, he had no say over what the people coming after him would do, what they would believe, and how they would conduct it. You see, all these things, even in a church setting, how many arguments, how many divisions have arisen over the material building, over material things. And yet the time comes when we leave it all behind. The Lord is saying our life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It does not consist in material things. The essence of our existence is not material things, because one day we will leave them all behind, whether it's in a personal capacity, in our own personal possessions, or even within the church setting. We leave it all behind. And everything that is material one day will be burned up. It will be no more. So the Lord commences with this warning against covetousness. He continues with the illustration in this parable, and then he concludes by emphasizing the essence of life. Verse 21, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What the Lord is saying is that true enrichment is knowing God, living for Him, glorifying Him, enjoying Him, walking with Him, rich toward God. And if you consider, stop and consider that little phrase, rich toward God, what does that mean? That means person who is rich towards God is a person who possesses the things which God places value upon. The things that God counts valuable. The context, the inheritance, the question over inheritance, the parable of the farmer, his goods, leaving them all behind. It's all about possessions. And the Lord says, do you want to know what possessions you should seek for? The possessions that God places value upon. Not what the world places value upon, but what God places value upon. And the possessions that God places value upon are grace, faith, holiness, a new heart, a life surrendered to God's will. These are just some of the possessions that God counts valuable. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The Lord is emphasizing the true essence of life. What life consists in, what it consists of. It consists of knowing God, walking with him, living for him, doing his will, possessing those things, those qualities that God places valuable or value upon. This is a revolutionary saying. It runs counter to all that the world thinks and all that the world holds to be important and valuable. But this is what the Lord said to his disciples, and the teaching carries on right down to this day, to this generation. May the Lord give to us an understanding heart, and may the Lord help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things, these temporal things. The Lord says he'll add them. We'll not be without. The Lord says he will meet our needs. But they're not the focus. They're not the priority. It's the kingdom of God. It's those things that the Lord places value upon. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's sing another hymn.